What's up, humans? Welcome to the Human Music Podcast. I'm Luke Rain. My co-hosts are Tesco and Rip Kenny, and we are all music producers, artists, and producer coaches. This show is where we discuss all things music production and interview amazing creatives about their origins, their process, and whatever else comes up. This week is episode 133, Sound Library Organization. We're talking about doing things that support your workflow, like deleting samples you don't like, creating folder trees based on your own music brain, tips for organizing drum samples, one-shots, and loops, where to put your sparks and faces, 128s, mini 128s, and other types of sampler instruments we use, and building and saving racks and templates. We also dive off on tangents on making drums sound good and arrangement techniques. Song of the week that you hear behind me is my new track, Luke Rain, Do Our Work, featuring Lionijah, Sarah Connor, and Soul Fam. Get the link down there on the link tree, and you can support our sponsors like my Spice It Up percussion and Foley pack I did with Porch, where you can get over 2,000 percussion loops and one shots, along with 50 rack instruments for Reason and Ableton. Also, Dojo TV. You can catch us live on Dojo TV every other Tuesday and get a bunch of other free producer live stream classes from the Dojo Senseis. Then Tesco's Patreon, where you can get access to his Discord, track feedback, private lessons, and more. That's down there. And finally, the weekly download, where you can learn from Ill Gates and his private weekly group lessons and get access to over 300 more episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. Check us out at thehumanmusicpodcast.com if you need anything else, but let's get on into this episode.
Hello, people of Earth. This is Tesco with Rip Kenny and Trap Jesus, and you're listening to the Human Music Podcast. Woo!
Human Music Podcast. I like it.
What is up, humans? Holy motherfucking shit. We're back.
We're back.
It's 2023 still. That's good. No time warps.
I know,
warps.
But January's over almost. That almost feels like a time warp.
Yeah.
That's just kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah.
You guys having a good start to your year so far?
Man, honestly, besides the fact that it's just flying by, it's tripping me out a little. I think it's fine. Time's just been passing weird since the pandemic. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I was struggling to realize it was the year 2023 the other day, which is just stupid because you kind of do that every year, but like I did it more so this year. It's weird.
I feel like this is the year that I've been the most in tune with that it's a new year. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, me too, oddly enough.
Well, you guys are just dialed and I'm all over the place.
Oh, I'm all over the place. That's just the one thing in my life that I'm sure of. Yeah, my sleep schedule has been so weird. Was that
Time has been passing different, I feel. I don't know. Like, it feels like everybody, it definitely things have changed since the pandemic happened. And I don't know, man. Even though we've gone back to normal, things feel like they just move different. It feels like people have a different perspective on life too. Like, I don't know. Something just feels different to me. And I feel like it's kind of affecting time in that way.
Indeed.
Oh shit. Big up chat. New Maps has made 26 tracks this year so far. What day are we on? 24? Damn, 24. You sick fuck.
You're making us look bad, bro.
If y'all are in chat, post some cool stuff that you've done so far this year, because I don't know if anyone's gonna have more than 26 tracks made. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I don't know if us plus chat. Well, nah.
Hey. Maybe. Yeah, right. Maybe the rest of the people in the chat.
Yeah, literally, the sum
might
total
not
of
make it
else
up to 26.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made a few good tracks this year, though. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. Shouts out! I saw Subtronic. Sub-Octave. Man, I'm not sleeping enough.
Shout out Subtronics in the chat, bro. What's good?
What's up, Garen? Sub-Octave came through, and we made three tracks the other week. That was super dope, and. I've released two this year. Woo! One with Dr. Cattywampus and another one with my homies Sarah and Lionijah that just dropped yesterday. If you're listening to this on the live stream, yeah,
look at you go.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. I'm just having a lot of different types of releases out. You know, it really felt like time to just like start putting them out. I had a bunch of stuff I've been sitting on for a while. You know, solo tracks, collabs, all these, and my collaborators were bugging me like, "So, the fuck's that coming out, man?"
That's a healthy reminder.
Let me get this out there. I'm done sitting on it.
I think we all need that from time to time.
Yeah.
You know what I wonder now that you bring it up? I wonder, because I'm releasing music as well, if that is why we're so tuned into the new year. Because I felt like going into it, I was very much like, I can't wait to get this shit out. Can't wait to see where this year goes, blah, blah, blah. Were you also like kind of in the same mindset leading up to 2023?
Yeah, and definitely like having release dates.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like thinking about the date, you know, and it's like, it's really easy to keep track of the date and what year it is when you got like something on your calendar that you keep looking at.
Yeah. And I scheduled a couple of releases out like up until May, and that's only like 4 or 5 tracks. Like, what the fuck? By the time all these come out, it's going to be like half the year already.
Yeah, that's actually nuts.
That's wild.
That's dope though. 4 tracks? 4 tracks in the mix? 5? May is the 5th
I released my track Parasite like 10 days ago.
Hey.
I released a track a month before that. On Valentine's Day, we got a track coming out, I believe, on the 13th.
Ooh-wee.
And then 3 more tracks after that. So till May. So yeah, that's 4 in the queue right now. And then you know how it is. You have got like 20 that are like 95% done and that just need just probably like 200 hours more each to get the last like 1%.
Yeah, that's all.
But yeah, man, definitely enough to last till the end of the year, which is exciting. First year I've been able to say that.
That's sick. I love to see y'all thriving. We have definitely flip-flopped. Like last year I was like fucking high and tight, and I don't even know when the song's coming out for me yet.
Dope that it's gonna like the shelf life of it is so long.
Amen. Hopefully, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Actually, the Spotify numbers have been actually like climbing, and I haven't released anything. I've been pleasantly surprised with that, but it makes me feel a little bit better about doing fuck all for musical output. Like literally just like sketching ideas. I don't like this. And then just like moving on, like I'm fucking 2 years into producing again. Makes me feel a little bit better about that. The other stuff's still chugging along down the tracks. Well, it sounds like you guys are pretty organized. You know.
You know, it looks that way from the outside.
Yeah, but it's duct tape from the back.
Yeah, I was actually having a talk with a producer friend out here in Seattle today. We had a good phone call, and you know, I was like talking about some of the little things I do to keep myself organized, and he's like, "Holy shit, like you've got it all figured out. Man, I feel like I'm fucking up." I'm like, "Oh, that's funny, because like you were talking about something else like 10 minutes ago, and it had me feeling like I was fucking it up, and you had it all figured out. So maybe we should just like join forces and like teach each other these little things we do."
Yeah, totally. Organization's one of those things, too, I never really thought of being as a skill. I always felt like it came kind of naturally, but I'm excited to dive into this topic because I definitely feel like you can apply your creativity to the organization and then it helps you organize the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a positive feedback loop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't realized by now, my very lackluster segue presented the topic of tonight, which is organization, specifically like session prep, like stuff you're doing to make sure that you're efficient when you're actually producing music. A lot of stuff that I've neglected for about 2 years and should probably do.
Amen. All right. Well, this will be your jump back into it. You know, we can set some smart goals and
This is 2 episodes in a row that I'm just like cherry picked. Like, I need to hear what you guys have to say about this because I need it.
Yeah. You know what this makes me think of is like in grade school, if you have a messy desk and the teacher just like flips it out and just makes you reorganize it. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the teacher do that to kids. I'm not saying it's happened to me. I'm just saying. It's happened. You didn't have desks in school that had like stuff you could put inside of them?
Nah. We just had fucking chair with a shelf attached to it, pretty much. It was very hard plastic.
Those were the high school ones. But in grade school, we had like, these desks that actually had a wood top and then a metal like bottom to it that you put your shit in.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah. I remember those. That sounds like something that happened in kindergarten.
Yeah, that sounds high class.
That's what we're about After a to while, do. Though, flip the desk out.
Okay. Okay.
I thought we were just flipping the desk because we were angry at our mix. Fuck this snare.
Just fucking.
Oh, my laptop. No.
Wait, that sounds kind of dope, actually. Let's sample that.
Yeah, let me sample the desk flipping and my laptop crushing. Oh, yeah, oh, that's going to be a problem.
We need a new laptop. Two new laptops.
So I want to go
what's
in.
What's your favorite?
Man, I actually want to talk about something that Tesco touched on a couple episodes back, which was delete shit.
Mm-hmm.
I did that my today. Favorite.
That's crazy.
I needed like a simple thing. Like I was kind of having trouble like getting going at the beginning of my studio day. And I decided like first things first, like I just transferred everything to this new laptop. And like I've had all my, you know, all my sounds in this, you know, this folder. And the first thing I was like, man, actually like the folder's not titled very well. There's some shit I wish was in the folder that isn't, and some shit that's like in the folder that doesn't need to be. And like, so just like on a big level, I just decided to like do some of that shit. Like I've been meaning to do that. And I actually found a remix of a Eminem track with a really sick beat that I forgot I had made. And so that was good. And then it was the only thing in this entire random folder called sound design or something like that. And it's just one remix that I had a bounce of that, and I have no idea, had no idea where the session was.
This is a really good point, because I have realized I have inadvertently done the same thing and not even realized it a few times. Like, you make like a nice little folder tree and it's like where you're putting shit for about 6 months. And then like what something happens and then all of a sudden you're like putting it in a Dropbox folder that's linked to your computer. And it's like, I don't know how you don't realize it at the time, but you're like making all the same folders that you put in the other spot. And you're just like, and then it's all fucking segregated and not in the same spot. And half your shit's missing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So having those, like, get an idea of your overall overarching like organization, and then, you know, combine folders that, you know, that are redundant. One thing I did a while back that is going to necessitate a lot of deleting and organizing little by little is I just went and I broke down all my Splice folders and all my packs that I had bought, and I just put them in categories. Like, all the hats are here, all the kicks are here, all the loops are here, etc. And that just made it so much easier, instead of like diving into folder trees and then diving back out when those five kicks didn't work for my song. Just be like, look, at least let me go to one giant kick folder that's a mess and just be able to go, no, 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 no. Okay, fine. And move on with my life. And then by like order of importance, starting with, okay, kicks, let me go through this and like delete most of them and then like categorize the ones I don't hate. And be like, ooh, this would be good for a drop. Ooh, that's like a muted like kick that like has clearly been like filtered. And that one's like a super aggressive kick with a bunch of distortion on it, you know, like, and I like it and I'll put it in the category. And then today I actually went back through, spent like a half hour just going through those kick folders that I had organized and like reorganizing them. Like, I recognized when I went through, I'm like, you know what? A bunch of these so-called drop kicks I wouldn't use in a drop. Let me either delete them or throw them in one of the other folders. And I just like opened up a couple of folders. I'm like, okay, let me drag and drop them. Well, you know, that one's actually like more of a chill, like build up kick instead of a drop kick. When I hear it next to a bunch of fat ass drop kicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that is one of the biggest struggles of organizing your library, is like sorting stuff and then later realizing you don't like how you sorted it. And I'm not the type of person that really wants to go, but like, I golf clap for you to actually go back and reorganize the shit that you already organized. I'm one and done. Like if I fucked it up the first time, it's probably going to stay like that. So I've tried to really standardize over like the past 5 years. I haven't changed my folder structure at all. And I've realized that has helped for sure. I think also basically the only thing I actually do stay up to date with organizing is my Splice folder, which is like any, you know, every 3 to 6 months, like take all the samples out of the packs and put them in the tree. Mm-hmm. But I have real, like if I over folderize, like for instance, if I have kicks and I'm like, you know, doing that same thing, like it starts to feel like packs again to me. And I actually checked last episode. We started talking about organization, which is the episodic segue into this episode. Yeah, that flies. And I have like 330 kicks from Splice. And I was thinking to myself, I think that's fair. Like I can find a kick out of 300 that's, you know, I'm not swimming in them. And actually, like more than anything, I just like remember the names of the ones that I've liked before, and I'll just start with those. And if any of those work, well, I'm off to the fucking races. And if not, and I'm looking for something a little different, then, you know, there's not too many. But yeah, what do you got? How do you go? How do you do it, Tesco? Do you like subfolders and subfolders, or do you like?
So okay, how I do it is, I have drums, basses, and melodic stuff. And then
you only got three folders? You fucking madman.
So I have three folders because I'm going to be working on one component. I mean, there's four components to a song in my eyes. Well, actually five with effects. So you have drums, bass line, the melodic leads, chords, whatever, vocals, and effects. So I have a big effects folder, and that I have separated by like impacts, downlifters, risers, swooshes, whatever the fuck. It's usually stuff that's like longer. And then that's my FX. And then I have my sound effects, which are shorter sounds. And I'll use those as like more percussive kind of effects. Those go in with my drums, which are labeled pretty standard, kick, clap, whatever. But I like to use a variety. So certain things I'll like orient towards my style or what I prefer. So I have, instead of throwing all my shakers into the perk loop folder, shakers are like something that's like very particular to me. And I want to have a specific library of shakers. So like I separate my perk loops and my shakers. And then I have like stomps and kicks, because stomps are very different to me as well. I can reverse those, I can layer them, I can use them in different ways. Snares, snaps, claps, rims all need to be separated. Other than that, it's like pretty standard type of stuff you'd see in a cymatics pack. Perk loops, open hats, hi-hats, that kind of stuff. Now, yeah. Within the main folders, really my muscle drums, not so much like hi-hats and stuff, but my kicks, snares, rims, claps, hats, whatever, I break those down one more step by what style I want. So I'll typically mix, like, some songs will be more EDM, or maybe a section will be more EDM, right? Or IDM. I have definitely like an IDM glitch folder, and then I have like a trap and R&B folder, and then I have a like electronic dubstep kind of folder. It's like really the classic like dubsteps, D&B snares, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So each of those are then separated by genre, so that if I'm like, ooh, it'd be sick to have a glitchy bridge here, I can just go into like all my glitch perks and like kicks and stuff like that. And I can really like dial in that section with the vibe. But it still leaves me open if I want a different kick or whatever. I'm still in the kick folder.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It,
yeah.
It's, do you ever worry about like having like the stuff like sectioned off a bit too much? So like, for instance, like you're trying to find a snare and you don't really know what you want. And like, mm-hmm. like you have to click through a bunch of different folders to figure out which one you like?
Or I feel you on this, and I would say maybe it'll happen still at this point, but I've tried different structures over time. I try to keep things really like just all my snares in one folder, and I found I don't really like that. I found without the specificity of the categorization, usually I know. Like, for example, I just threw out, like, I'll have a hyperpop one, I'll have a trap R&B one, I'll have a dubstep folder, whatever. But that's just kind of like surface level labels. Like the hyperpop one, really anything like metallic sounding and aggressive goes in there. And then with the dubstep folder, really it's those types of snares where they have that really quick like pitch bend at the beginning, the really electronic sounding ones. And then trap R&B obviously is anything that's like 808 sampled and modified and stuff from there. So usually I have a pretty good idea of what type of vibe. Like if I want a really like pokey, like ticky kind of kick, then I know that like the IDM folder is going to have that, versus if I want something more subdued, the R&B folder is going to have that. So even though I use the label of like IDM and R&B, I just think to the kind of artists that inspire me with genres they use, but the samples themselves really are categorized by specific qualities they have, like how aggressive they are or the texture.
Yeah. I think this is a good point in this discussion to mention, like you should set up your sample library specifically in the way you conceptualize the thing you need.
Yes.
Right. Everyone has different words for like how they describe the thing that they need. And the word that you use should be the title of the folder. Like for instance, for me, like if I want like an atmosphere or an ambience, like I know that that's a layer that I'm going to have like way down in the mix that needs to be like in key. And it's probably just going to provide like a little bit of texture and you're not going to hear it. It could be a pad. It could be like a vocal ambience thing. But in my head, like that is a category of things that I'm going to reach for. And so there's like a folder in my sample set for that, or like Foley and glitches, like, you know, kind of like,
yeah,
bits and bobs type of stuff.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Cause I brought up like the sound effects versus effects in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I did with the new iteration of how I organize my samples. Now I found, there was a lot of like cool sounds I wasn't using because I was throwing them in the effects folder with the risers and the upsweeps and blah, blah, blah. And by the time I'm adding those effects, there's no room left in the mix to add like the lasers and like the other like cool effects that are much shorter that you could add that, you know, all the other elements were already occupying the mix and I just needed like the white noise sweeps at the end. So I made the distinction of like FX versus SFX, which my SFX are going to be with my drums. So one thing that helped me kind of like dial in with my style is I very, 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 very rarely use crashes anymore. I think they just sound cheesy and outdated. And
most crashes like suck. Most crashes
are ass. So with the SFX, I find a bunch of sounds that are crash-like that I can use in placement. It's not quite a perk. I wouldn't use it in the beat to add groove, but I'd use it for like a sound effect, like an impact to layer on top of that first kick when the section rolls around. And now I just find like it's one more level of spice that's helped take my drums from sounding, I hate to say dated because I still like crashes to an extent, but now my crash folder is my SFX folder more or less, where I'm grabbing like reverb, like chants and like metallic hits and like spacey laser noises or like reverbed out dubstep growls. Like I don't even do that style anymore, but that's like one thing I found that I love from that style that I could still pull into my style of music, which is like the softer, more ambient kind of smooth style of music. So I can still have this like cool sound design. So to me, I'm like, why use a crash at that point? And now my beats sound fresher. Just off making that like sample pack or sample library change.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, it's like a few of those ideas. I'm like, damn, that's nice. Like a reverbed out chant for the downbeat instead of a crash. Like, I'm getting all sorts of ideas of cool shit that could work with that.
Glass breaks, lasers. Really, here's a cheat code. Anything, a laser, a Foley sound, literally anything like that you think is dope. Put a ping pong delay on it and like bring the width in a little so it hops back and forth, but not fully stereo, and have that as the impact. And you could put the delay time pretty high so that it just like layers delays out. And I love using like little lasers or whatever for the crashes, because they just go like pew, 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 like off to the sides, and it gives you that crash kind of effect, but it's just so much sicker. I don't know, you can really do it with any kind of sound.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Super dope. Yeah, like having those kind of pieces that fill niches, organized like by the way that you think of them, like and if you learn a new thing and you're like, oh, this is a thing I want to have in my music, like take a nighttime session to like fill a folder with that shit, whether you're like looking in your you know current folders that you've already organized to, or if you're like going on Splice or wherever and downloading new sounds, like just go with that intention of, I'm going to download a bunch of this today, or I'm going to find that.
And use the folders on the side and Splice. Like one thing I'll do is like, once you organize your Splice library, all the new samples I download, I'll just be like, all right, I need a bunch of hyper pop metallic kind of snares, let me just go on a huge hunt for those, and I'll stick those all in a folder, batch download those. Now you just go in your Splice folder, search for a wave, and then you could just extract all of them out the folder in one go, put them in your snares, then go find kicks, vocals, whatever the hell else you need, and just do them like one sound at a time. And if you just search by the file type, you don't have to like dig into the folder, drag it out, go back, dig in the next folder. You literally just type wave, highlight all of the search results, drag to a new folder, delete the empty Splice folders, go download whatever. Or you could just do a big ass binge in one go and just fucking categorize them all on the side and download them after. But yeah,
that's so smart.
Yeah,
I had never thought of that. What happens if you come across a sound that's not what you're hunting for, but is also dope, and you need to download it, and then it's
Keep the categories on the side. So I'll sometimes even clear out the folders. All the really old ones I did, I probably have a couple left still. But anytime I go do a new download session, I'll be like, oh, I could use snares, melodies, and whatever, and I go in with a specific intention, and then I'll have a miscellaneous folder for like the cool random shit you find. But that really helps me find like what I actually need to like round out my library.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now we got Hooves in the chat over here asking, so like, what do you do after you got these? Do you build 128s with them?
Well, I would say for certain, no, more or less, no.
That is a thing you could do.
It is a thing you could do, but I think 128 of any sample besides perks, effects, and like spicy sounds is just overkill to have 128. You don't need 128 snares. You just don't. You could have five different genres within 100 samples and 20 samples each, and if you have 20 dope ass, I can't even think of 20 different dubstep snares. There's like three. And then for house, there's like two. So it's like you could cover a lot of ground with, you know, a couple dozen samples. So I would say make like mini 128s, but even then, what I prefer 128s for personally, not to derail, but so like how I said with my drums, I have a melodies folder as well, and I base that off of how I like to kind of how I like my melody workflow to be. So I much prefer the synth kind of workflow over using samples. But I love having one shots because they're low CPU. You can reverse them. You can fuck with them in the sampler and make them sound really cool. So making 128s of like bass one shots or 128s of lead one shots, synth one shots, chords, pads, all that kind of stuff is super dope to me over drums, because I can essentially make an instrument that I can, whatever, write out my chords, duplicate it. Now I have the same chord, MIDI, same everything, turn the 128. Now I can start layering it. It just makes the workflow really fast, and having 128s for plucks, leads, blah, 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 blah is more useful in my opinion.
Yeah. For me, I got away from 128s. Mostly because when I used to load them into my projects, I mean, I'm a sample hoarder. I can't delete shit. I just got to put it on an external drive I'll never look at ever. But like, you know, just like if you watch the show Hoarders, like the guy's like, no. This has a use. This has a use. And they're like, you're not using it. You haven't used it in 10, 20 years. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, no, wait. I might use it in the future. So my projects end up not the same, but sometimes similar. By the time you got 50 Serum presets in your project, like you'd be lucky to get away with a few 128s in there. And besides the fact that like there were a couple times where I was trying to collect all and save those projects, yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm like I'm waiting for like minutes, which sounds like ridiculous, but minutes
that's a long time to wait when you just hit save and you wanted to keep working.
It is a long time.
Yeah, and also to open the project and index it takes fucking forever.
And then that project folder, when you collect all and save it, is now like 10 gigs, and you're like, I don't need copies of these samples in every project that I have.
Yeah, please don't send me sessions or fucking product files during sessions. Yeah. It's like a bar loop with like all 128.
We need to collect some and save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should know be what I meant.
Yeah.
Need the AI see, the thing to is, know like, what we meant.
Again, it just goes back to like, you need to know what works for you. Like if you are really quick with a template that has like three 128s in it that you know has all your favorite drums and it gets you quick, like great. That's, you know, you just got to figure out what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the mini 128s. That's mini 128s. It could be 20 samples, but same idea. Just put it on a knob and you don't need 128 of them. But if you got 20... and they're super accessible, it's going to be super dope. But at that point, I don't mind having it in the folder. And actually, after hearing your point, Evan, the more I think about it, the reason I like doing it more so on melodic type of stuff when I do is because I'll typically freeze flatten it afterwards. So like I don't keep it in MIDI state for very long in that sampler with all the samples.
No, that makes a lot of sense too. I was actually just realizing most of the stuff that I'm using like a sample for, you know, like drums or effects, like I'm never really using like sampled bass 128s. Like normally I'm like, you know, just grabbing presets that I've made before, like making something from scratch because I have an idea of what I wanted to do. And then I've actually found that one of the things that as I've gotten a little bit more experience with production that matters like a lot is being able to like, say you have like hi-hats and like fading the actual audio sample in the grid and then turning it into a loop and then just like using that as your hat loop. Like I don't know that I put a single drum in besides a kick and snare in a sampler anymore. Cause I'd like love that workflow of like getting the fade just right and like making everything like come in and out and like adjusting the transients to line up correctly and stuff. Like for whatever reason, I've just gone away from like samplers, or at least the Ableton sampler, like a lot in my workflow. And I'm realizing that's also probably a big reason I don't do a lot of 128 stuff, is I just like almost never work in the sampler anymore. It's just like not, I don't know. Like he's, like we said, you got to find what works for you. And I just don't get inspired by the sampler.
So some dope shit about the sampler, why I still like using it.
Yeah.
Although I agree with you 100%, audio for drums is just fucking, it's the best. You get the most control. And it always makes me think of Luke, what you told me about how the ends of the sounds play into the groove just as much as the beginning. You have so much control. But with the sampler, one thing that's really nice, and one thing I do a lot, especially for drums over 128s, is getting a drum rack, getting my whole folder of perks, or just grabbing a fuck ton of them randomly, chucking them in, putting them all on the same choke group so that they don't play over each other. And then I'll make a cool perk pattern with like all fucking five gazillion of my perks. And then I'll bounce down 16 bars of that. And then now it's in audio. And then I can fuck with it in audio. I could do more reverses. I could glitch it up, whatever.
I forgot about the choke groups. That's actually, that's a really good.
And the real reason I brought this up is for melodic stuff, it's really nice. There's a built-in chorus in the sampler. And then my favorite feature is for hi-hats and perk loops and random shit like that, you can add this randomization pan feature. So if you set something off like 10, you can set it like a variable 10 where it's like within this range. So you can really get hi-hats sounding alive with no additional reverb. Like very minimal effects just by making them kind of hop around the mix a little. And I find like, yeah, with very minimal elements, adding a bit of pan randomization on your drums, it, I don't know, it's just different to me than using an auto pan.
Yeah,
it just, it hops around randomly rather than sweeping in an LFO kind of way. And like the most useful feature of the samplers.
Well, I mean, I just paid $260 to update all my Waves plugins, so I have to use Brouwer Motion. I paid for it, so I need to use it, and that's the whole point.
Shout out Waves.
Fuck you. Also, the auto. I just realized auto pan also does have a random shape function. I've never actually used that for hats, but I'd be curious how close it would be in like vibe to the actual sampler random pan is.
So the one thing about the auto pan versus the sampler random pan is the auto pan will just take the outgoing signal. So if you have a open hat that's stretching, the open hat will jitter from side to side. But if you have a string of open hats playing, one will fire off from here, one will fire off from here, one from here, and they'll play out in the same space in the panning field instead of through in one playthrough jumping around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's also a really good point, because the sampler is going to make sure that it switches the like panning at the start of a sample, which for something like hi-hats is like fucking incredibly important. And you're not going to get that with the auto pan. So that's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the built-in chorus, if you use it on like a melodic one shot, sounds better than a synth sometimes.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of chorus. So I should probably check that out as well. I almost exclusively use Serum FX for chorus, because I know that one so well and I know how to get exactly the sound I want out of it. But I have been trying to find an alternate to that for a long time, because
the Juno chorus is free. And oh, Multiply chorus is my favorite chorus, and it's free, and it sounds dope.
These are both great. Juno chorus and Multiply chorus?
Yeah. I use Multiply for like everything, man, no lie. It has this one Rhodes preset that like just sounds so sexy on vocals. And even the default preset, I usually just like turn it down a teensy tad, maybe EQ it. It's got a built-in EQ. It's fucking sick. I like it.
Excuse me while I download this right now.
Yeah, I wanted to jump back to something actually from a minute ago. We were talking about like whether or not to use the MIDI or whether or not to, you know, get stuff right on the grid, and you know, either way works. But one thing that came up on a session this week with a student, we were talking about sample choice and specifically drum sample choice. And, you know, I got the session to work with from all in MIDI, and I decided to like, let me just show you what each of these drum sounds is doing and why it's not doing what you want. And I just flattened each one and like showed like, look at what this drum sample looks like. That does not look like it's going to be punchy. Look at, zoom in and like, look at how little, you know, transient there is and how long the sustain is compared to say this sample from one of my packs that I boiled it down to by deleting a bunch of crap. And just like right off the bat, no processing, look at how much better that looks and sounds. And then, you know, just being able to see like, hey, look, there's phasing in this kick. It's never going to hit that hard because like, you can see that it just falls apart in the middle. You know, so like getting, whether or not you want to use, you know, one way or the other to get your ideas out, like checking, like learning to read waveforms and learning to see what the sample's actually doing is so important, so vital. And if something's not working with your kick, like find a way to look at the waveform, resample it, flatten it, whatever you want to do, but like look at that shit on the waveform and you'll learn a lot.
Dude, it literally, I used to do that so much on like kick and snare, especially every song I would like agonize over like compressing it and then rendering it to see what it did and like make sure it's like as punchy as possible until I finally realized, why am I even fucking compressing the kick?
Yeah.
Why am I even doing that? It's impossible to get the waveform that I want. Let me just literally drag the kick into an audio track and either use the fades or volume automation with a utility and then bounce that and have the exact like length and waveform that I want and then pull that into the sampler.
Yeah.
Voila. It took fucking 5 minutes and I didn't have to fuck with it. I will still use compression and sometimes even a bit of limiting on my drum bus to like get everything glued together, but like not in a big way. And like I realized like you don't need to just get your kick the right volume. Like almost every kick that you download has some sort of compression already.
Why do we all get taught to put glue compressor on the kick,
right?
Who the fuck said that? Everybody does that.
Everybody.
One of those things from way back in the day.
Yeah,
it's like I feel like a drum kit was recorded and they're like, well, it sounds like a dude like moved his foot on a metal thingy, which hit a head in a room, and we want it to sound better than that. And what can we do? Hey, look, this is a tool that's stuck to the thing that's in the mixing board that's in everything. We have it. We might as well utilize it. And it helps. Literally. But like that was 30 years ago, 40 years ago when that got invented. And people are doing the same thing that was invented for a natural drum kit with an actual recording, as opposed to, dude, you know, we have
literally
infinite control and we're doing a different genre. We have this like unlimited tracks. We can see the waveform. We can, you know, it's completely different. And I think there's so many things that are just like legacy holdovers that somebody got taught in audio engineering school by somebody who learned it when it was a good idea. And then I should make a free YouTube video for today. What Classic can I talk case. About?
Dude, literally. It's so funny. Like before you're at the point in your production journey where you're like, right, listening to the thing should be the most important rather than doing the thing the tutorial said. A hilarious producer anecdote. I one time, 2-3 years into producing, was trying to get my drums to sound better. And I watched a video or listened to it on the way home from work and didn't even fucking realize I was listening to all of this advice from some dude making like Christian soft rock on a live drum kit. And he's like, Dude, actually, it was. It must have been one of those Recording Revolution. That is so funny. And I got home.
He's got good advice for that.
I compressed the shit out of an already compressed kick and cut a whole bunch out of 400 hertz. And I was like, yeah, this is sick now.
Compress your kicks for Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to look like, here's one. Should you clip your kick? Well, I think you should look at your fucking kick sample and see what it looks like.
Yeah,
like if it's really punchy and has a huge transient and you're not getting enough body out of it, but you like it otherwise, try clipping it. If you look at that sample and it's clearly already clipped, don't do it again, probably.
Yeah. If your kick is bricked, don't clip.
Yeah.
If it's bricked, don't clip.
So this has been an amazing how do we do drums tangent. We got anything else on organization? Because, you know, we talked about deleting samples we don't like. I think that's super important. Creating folder trees based on how our brains want to find things. Like, really, I want to nail that home. Like, you don't have to do it like other sample packs do. You don't have to categorize it as what it says on the sample. Categorize it by how you're going to use it. Like, if it says kick, but it's weird and distorted and you would use it as a bass one shot, put it with your bass one shots.
Hundo P agree. Woo. And I wanted to bring this up when you brought up your last point, cause it's kind of related, but we got off track as usual.
We do that.
Ooh, so with the drums, time. I feel like the drums is a important discussion cause it shows how to apply that concept to drums. But as an example, I think it might be worthwhile to talk about categorization for like melodic stuff, let's say. So
I have thoughts. Like,
yeah. And I'm curious to hear how y'all do it, because I've kind of gone like different ways in the last couple of years. But with the newest way, what I've done is kind of analyze like what is all the different components that I could have. Pads, bells, blah blah blah. I have all of those separated by, I use a lot of one shots, like I said, I really like those. And then I have my synths, which I delete all my patches in my synths that I don't like. And then outside of that, I have like a guitar tones folder. So it's not really samples, but I'm gonna record my guitar and I want drag and drop shit for my guitar. So when I'm recording melodies, it can sound up to par quality wise with everything else. Then I have another one for vocals, and that one's going to be sorted by vocal like phrases and like little like shorter kind of things versus longer phrases and acapellas and stuff that I have to chop. And I feel like maybe there's something else I'm forgetting, but in general, the way I kind of break things down, whether it's drums, melodies, whatever, is in a more workflow kind of approach. So I'm thinking, what's everything I need? I have like some vocal chains there that aren't really like a main vocal chain, but that I could use to add like some background effects and ambiences and stuff like that. Anything that would go into my melody group and not my vocal group, essentially. And if it's a prominent enough element that happens across multiple songs, I'll probably have a folder like the vocal samples that I chop.
Mm,
how about you guys?
Well, I've mentioned this before and I keep telling people about it because it works so well for me. And just like to preface this, like you mentioned that you like the kind of like the synth workflow style for like writing your tracks.
Oh, sorry. And I do have a like samples folder for samples to chop up.
Yeah.
I have a fucking other folder,
but whatever. Different like kind of different sparks and faces. I think it's really important to keep those in a place. Like I also have a folder for like acapellas to do remixes on, and you know, but then like I found that like since I love the sample chop like workflow. Like I love chopping up samples more than I like making patches. And I've downloaded some cool serum patches that I like that I'll use sometimes to write like melodies I hear. But like, I love the kind of happy accident style of like grabbing a bunch of stuff in the same key and BPM and seeing what it inspires me to make. Like that splice cipher we did a couple years back. I think it was maybe like 2019. We did a cipher where there was just like Spiderhound picked like 150 splice samples. And it was like, everybody make your track out of just this. You can add a sub bass and you can add, you know, vocals, but otherwise all your drums, all your loops, all your melodies, everything has to come from here. And that shit still inspires me. I love that workflow. So what I've started doing is organizing all my melodic and harmonic loops into, first I threw them in folders of like, just like, you know, sections of like 10 BPM. So here's all the stuff in 140s. Here's all the stuff in 150s. And then as I go, if I get stuff that's the exact same BPM and key, I throw it into a subfolder inside that folder. So like, eventually you've got, you know, 6 to 8 things at say 140 in A minor. And it's like, oh, cool. I'm going to write in that today. Drag all of these in as like this crazy super loop of a spark and see what happens. You know, I'll probably end up deleting a good chunk of them that just didn't fit with whatever the main idea I went with was. And sometimes I'll go to Splice and I'll like download a few more to throw on. And I also organize like all my percussion and drum loops by BPM. So then I just go to that BPM and drag in loops that fit. And then I'll just like chop everything up, checkerboard it, you know, see what it wants to be, you know. And, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, that loop fits perfectly in that section. And sometimes it's like that loop can be, you know, it might be like a 4-bar loop that has one sound happening all the time. And I always think back to Evan's workshop, like mini lesson he did for one of the dojo summits back in the day that was like, yo, don't have any one sound fill up all the space all the time. Like have these stops and starts because that sounds a lot more professional. Love that advice. So I love thinking about that. I was like, oh, cool. Here's like an ARP loop. It's a 4-bar ARP loop and it goes all over the place and it's interesting. But if it was just this ARP loop as my whole drop, I would get bored really quick. But if I get half a bar of that ARP loop every 4 bars as a turnaround, that shit sounds filthy to me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, okay, cool. That'll be my turnaround sound. And then this other loop over here that has like this slower melody, I'll chop that up as like my downbeat sound. And then I'll take this other one that has like a medium speed melody and I'll chop it up in between the two samples, you know, like, you know, do like an AB, ABC, you know, something like that. Find a pattern and then go PVRD on that. So like having, Herbert. Yeah, exactly. You gotta be a pervert. Yes.
Welcome humans to this podcast. I hope you have not enjoyed it again.
Yeah. So that, you know, that being said, like for how do I organize my melodic loops in a way where things that could work together live together. So I don't have to go search for anything. Like I used to be like, all my bass loops are over here and all my piano loops are over here. And it's like, who the fuck cares? Now I've opened a folder to be like, oh, I guess nothing in here works at this particular speed and key. Bummer. Let me leave with nothing. As opposed to like, yo, it's like, I got an idea for a lyric and I laid that down and it was at this tempo in this key. Now what can I support it with to spark myself and get going? And then, you know, I can always reach for synths. I can always, you know, add other things that aren't that, but like, it just gives me so much possibility right away. So much raw material to work with. So many, it's like having that paint palette full of colors.
Yeah, love it.
And if a color doesn't work, don't use it.
Yeah, I think that's also kind of it's fun because it's just like it's less serious. You're not like, I need to pick the perfect sample out of my library and it's got to work. You know, like And then, oh, that one didn't work. So back to the drawing board. I got to go look through all the samples again, right? It like kind of makes it more fun. But one mm-hmm. thing I did want to touch on that's outside of like just straight up organizing samples is like organizing and having a way to listen to like basically everything that you work on that is worth listening to again. For a while, I would just like organize project folders of like, you know, for a while I was writing like a guitar riff a day just to, you know, just to get in the practice of it. And I would just save them in the project folders. And I realized that's fucking dumb because how often are you going to go back and open up every individual project to listen to what it was? And so even though I started labeling them with like out of five, how good I thought they were when I was done with them, like that also is really subjective on your mood and shit, right? Now, anytime I like write something that's like that you could feasibly use some other time, I will just bounce and name it something random and put it in like a guitar idea folder that lives on my Dropbox. So I, you know, maybe I'm driving in the car and I'm like, you know, I want to write a new song. I want to listen to all the shit ideas that I have so I can, you know, get through them. But it's also linked on the side of Ableton and the places. So like if I wanted to like just scroll through it and drag something in sometime, I could also do that. But I realized that, and shout out to Alexandra actually for this tip, because I hadn't even conceptualized this until one time she was like, oh no, bounce every idea. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
And then like now you have way better access to all the time that you spent on all this shit, and it's not just going to get lost.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely bounce everything. I learned that the hard way.
And actually now thinking of it, I'm realizing I actually need to go back through that giant list of project folders and bounce out my favorites of the stuff that I've already done that I wasn't doing this before, because there's probably some stuff in there I'd like to use that would help spark something.
Amen.
Yeah, you always surprise yourself.
I call that sample farming. Where you dive into the Take Nighttime sessions and just go into old random folders that never became anything and be like, All right, quick, delete everything I hate, bounce everything I like and organize it somewhere, and then delete the session.
Yeah. I'm also
delete.
I'm also realizing as we're talking about this that it would be such a good idea to go back into like all the projects you finished and make racks, instrument racks for all of your favorite sounds in that project.
That's a good idea.
It's like, so, like, duh. But like one of my favorite things is if you have like a big, like, you know, exquisite production chain to make some sound like really sick. And it's like, you know, 10 plugins after the synth that are like making it do a bunch of cool shit. You just go back to the synth and hit init and make something completely different, but like with all the processing on it already, just that basic saw wave is probably going to sound cool. And like it's way more fun to sound design like that if you're like in a rut or like just trying to figure out a new way to come up with something cool. And I'm just thinking about how many projects I have sounds that took like 4 to 8 hours to process correctly.
Yeah,
that would be
and
great.
Take that 4 to 8 hours, make that a preset and a rack instrument, and then even if you don't want to use the exact same thing, you've got 4 to 8 hours of awesome to build from. Be like, oh, what if I change the octave, or what if I change the LFO speed, and like, oh, totally different instrument now, awesome.
Yeah,
took 2 seconds.
I guess this would be a good time to touch on as well, like. Build yourself racks of processing that works. And I've started to actually get better at this in the home stretch of like finishing a song. If I end up making a rack of something or just a processing chain that like works well for this type of thing, I will take 10 minutes of my time to make 4 macros and save it and like have a really cool tool to like make something sound good. Easier. I've actually realized, I think that is a huge like once you get good enough that you know what you're trying to do and like you know that your processing is helping, not hurting, because there I definitely have like the a lot of racks that I built like earlier on that I will open up now and be like, this is, I can't believe you did this.
Oh yes.
But always. Like, yeah, I actually, y'all would be proud of me. I did delete a bunch of audio effect racks that were garbage. That's maybe the only thing I've ever deleted. But yeah, like you will make so much more progress on that song if you can just double click the rack that makes it sound sick instead of spending a half hour trying to get it cool. Like you, it's just boom, done, on to the next. And like, you'll probably have to massage it later, but like getting the 85% of the way to sick with just one rack, like then you free up so much mental capacity to like focus on the other shit in the song that matters more.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is with this style of music, you know, I can go to the store and I can buy a guitar and I can make fiddle type music and real easy, you know, but when you get in the DAW, there's not something that's just like perfectly built to cater towards your needs. You start with this blank slate. You start with this blank folder structure. You start with probably the stock sounds that come with your DAW. So they want to appeal to as many people as possible. So you're starting with something that is, it's trying to appease everybody, which means that every possibility, every genre, every style, every choice that you make is equally likely, equally easy, equally probable, equally accessible. And what you need to do is find the choices that you don't want to be making and fuck it if they're harder to access because you don't need them. And then you build your template, you build your library, you build these tools in a way that supports your workflow, your style, your needs. Because at the end of the day, for whatever style of music you're trying to make, I'm doing my R&B electronic thing. At the end of a long day, I just want to sit down, sing into a mic, and that shit sounds good. I want to plug in a guitar and I strum and it's just dope. I want to put in a synth and I write some chords down and it's already articulate. It's already sick. When I get to my mud pie stage, I got a plug in, I throw that shit on, bada bing, bada boom, couple resamples. Easy going. That's how that shit should be. And the more stuff you can make for yourself to where you can watch that tutorial one day, implement and make that knowledge accessible for yourself. Now you don't need to store everything here. You can build a library of all the shit that you're picking up over time. And then it's like your style becomes so much more versatile and your tools become so much more accessible, which just ends up resulting in you writing better music faster. So it's a win-win overall. And, you know, maybe if you had to write a country song, you'd really struggle. But good thing you don't write country, you make DMB. So make that shit at 174 as soon as it starts up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many little things can you do? Like, yeah, like having templates in, like, you know, this is part of Sound Library Organization. Like, you know, there's the side of it where it's like, okay, cool. I organized all these samples in these folders. And then you could like make racks, 128s, mini 128s. You can make, you know, you can like make favorites folders of your favorite, you know, patches. Favorites. You could make favorites. You can reorganize your Serum library so you can get to the shit you actually like faster. Whatever saves you time. And then you can put that stuff in a template. And then there's the other side of it where it's like, what, you know, how often are you making like the exact same groups that you put shit in? Like, yeah, you make like a drums group every time, and there's a bassist group and an instrument group, and like, you know, are you using a comp chain? Like, how many of these things set up, and how many seconds of your life are you going to do this on how many songs? And then if you like, if once you have a template that's just like comes up that you build each song in, that saves you this time, all of these things are built to save you time. over and over again. It's exponential time savers. You do it one time, and then that folder's always organized. That rack's always built. It's available at the touch of a button. And then, like, once you figure out something like, ooh, you know what? This would be an even better way to set up my template. Take a moment to just update the template and resave it. Like, oh, yeah. You know what? Actually, I'm, you know, this is a good mastering plugin to throw on the end of that chain, or this is whatever it is. You know, actually, I do my side chain compression like this now. And so let me update that.
Yeah.
Oh, it could use 7 sausage fatteners, not 6.
Kill you.
Always more. It's actually funny you mentioned that. I actually just updated my template yesterday for the exact reason 7 that you were just talking.
Fatteners.
Seven instead of 6. Duh, how'd you know? No, I realized every time I record guitar, I just double track it. Even if I'm not going to use the double track, I just record 2 takes minimum that I'm happy with. And I'll always start, like, most of the guitar stuff I use is like works out better, like hard panned double tracked, because it saves some room in the center for all the other aggressive shit.
Amen.
And yeah. And
even acoustic guitars sound great like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always will, like, you know, duplicate the audio track left, right, make it a group. And I was like, why do I keep doing this? I just put a rhythm guitar and a lead guitar group with a left and right. Now I can just put them straight in there, and I don't, you know, hopefully save myself 10 minutes over the next few months. Who knows?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes nice to having stuff like that accessible. Like, I do a very similar thing for vocals, where it's like, you know, you'll probably need a main, probably need an ad lib, whatever. I have like 3 or 4 layers.
Yeah.
And for example, a recent song I did, my main vocal ended up being my ad lib channel, because my ad lib channel has a bit of distortion and grit on it, and it's EQ'd slightly differently. And that ended up sounding super sick as the main. Now, the thing is, I never would have reached for that, because in my mind, that's the ad lib chain. So. Yeah. Me accidentally putting it on there because it was already in my template, I'm like, damn, this sounds dope. So this is a unique case where I could keep it this way. And it's not going to be like that for every song, but I wouldn't have even tried it in that context. And yeah. It really helped the song come to life.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, shit, dude. I mean, I think on that note, we touched on some good shit here, man. And I know that anybody that actually applies this and goes through their library, does the organization. And keep in mind, the stuff I find, I have to do it in drafts. Like, the first time I go through, I have the most samples and I delete the most shit. But my second go through, I realize how much of the mediocre shit was left in because I was comparing it to the ass shit that I deleted. So... ass shit and the shit gotta go, and you figure it out over a couple days. So just get the process started, and the more you can articulate and organize what you're trying to achieve in your DAW and make it suit your workflow, you'll find yourself just like getting stuck less. You'll find yourself just picking the right samples because you're keeping all the best ones. So you'll just find like shit will come a lot more organically when you start, you know, organizing things in this way. And there's no right or wrong way. Just use maybe like a Cymatic sample pack or something to get started. Use that rough structure. But if you're like, if Bunny's like, yo, I want bunny noises, you should have a bunny folder of fucking bunnies munching carrots.
Yo, that'd be a like sick that, like, snare layer.
For real, like, whatever. If you're like, I want my music to sound fiery, you should have a fire folder. It doesn't have to be limited to hi-hats and snares and whatever. So I'm confident if anybody does that, if you're not doing it already, it's going to make such a huge difference.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, that's the episode, folks.
Yeehaw!
Get rid of the shit so you can get rid of the ass shit.
Yeah, I really like that, like that draft mentality too. Like, if you hate it, delete it. If you don't, keep it for a minute and then go back through tomorrow. And like, now the decision is easier because you're hearing so much less bullshit. And like, you're only hearing the top, you know, whatever, 30%. And then it's way easier to cut 30% to 10% than 100% to 10%.
Math.
Yeah. And go run my new song up.
Woo! Do it.
I'll do our work.
Like it. Add it to a playlist. That shit matters.
It's the, my dream is for this to be the soundtrack for you achieving your dreams.
Hell yeah.
Esco's track, Parasite.
Do it.
Hell yeah.
Do it.
Much love, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. This is an awesome episode, guys.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
This is a good one. This is a good one. A lot of gems in here.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Peace, humans. Well,
appreciate everybody.
Peace among worlds.
I like it.
Humans, thank you so much for being here. If you're enjoying this, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to follow us on our social medias at The Human Music Podcast or at Human Music Pod on Twitter. Make sure to tell your friends. Make sure to let them know about this podcast. If it's helping you, you know, send somebody an episode. I would really appreciate it if you help spread the word. And remember that Song of the Week is my new tune, Do Our Work, featuring Lionijah, Sarah Connor, and Soul Fam. Link down below to the link tree. And support our sponsors like my Spice It Up Percussion of Foley Pack, over 2,000 percussion loops and one-shots from me and my dude Porch. And we did 50 rack instruments, too. That's all live recorded, actual real world sounds. We got shakers and weirdos and bongos and all sorts of crazy foley of you know, coins on a metal tray and glass hitting itself and water sounds and even weed smoking sounds. Then you can check us out on Dojo TV every other week. Hop in on the live chat, ask questions, etc., and get a whole bunch of other free producer live stream classes from the Dojo Senseis at Dojo TV. Link down below. And make sure to go support our dude Tesco on his Patreon, where you can get access to his Discord, track feedback, private lessons, and more. And the weekly download, where you can learn from Ill Gates and his private weekly group lessons and get access to over 300 more episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. Check us out at thehumanmusicpodcast.com. And as always, peace and peace among worlds.